Malachi chapter 1, we begin in verse number 12. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye have brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your presence right now, Lord. We thank you once again, Lord, as we do oftentimes, Lord, for the privilege, dear Lord, and the opportunity that it is to gather together in this sacred place. We thank you, dear Lord, that the privilege and the honor it is, Lord, just to open up your holy word, Lord, dear Lord, to read it, allow you to speak to our hearts, dear Lord, and Lord, the privilege and the freedom that we have in this country, Lord, that we can do that, dear Lord. We are such a blessed nation, and Lord, we thank you and give you honor and praise for that freedom. Lord, we pray, dear Lord, tonight that you would bless the reading of your word, that you take it and use it. Dear Lord, that you might speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, that we might be better servants for thee. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd have your will and way. I pray that everything said and done bring honor and glory to thy name. We ask this in Jesus' most holy and blessed name. Amen. And you may be seated. As we read here in the book of Malachi, as we see here in this verse number 13, that they were bringing an offering to the Lord that he would not accept, or he did not accept there, one that was not up to his standards here. And my question tonight is, why do we think that we can bring whatever we want to God, and he'll accept anything and everything that we bring unto him as an offering or as a gift there? You know, God gave his best for you and I. God didn't send his junk, and God didn't send his scraps. God sent his very best and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for your sin and for my sin. And God sent his best, and God requires our best of us, each and every one of us. He commands that we give him our best. But oftentimes we think that we can give God the scraps of our life, or the junk of our life, or the leftovers of our life, and we think that God's supposed to feel privileged that we are giving him this or something. It's kind of like if we go to a restaurant, we go to a steakhouse, and we order us a fine steak, a T-bone steak, or a prime rib steak. When we order that steak, when it comes out, we expect to have that steak, do we? We wouldn't, if we ordered this prime rib or we ordered this T-bone steak, and they come out and the waitress come back with a plate of scraps that they had dipped out of the trash can, you wouldn't accept that, would you? Why? Because you ordered a steak. You ordered a best of that menu. Well, it's the same thing with God. God requires the best that we have. The best that we can offer him is what God requires of us. But what we do oftentimes, we go to the scraps of our life, and we dip down into the trash cans of our life, and we want to dip out something, and we want to try to offer it to God and expect God to accept that. Well, that's kind of what these folks were doing here. That's kind of what the people were doing. They were bringing these offerings to the Lord, and the priest was bringing them and offering them, and knowing that they was not suitable for the Lord. The Lord done told them the offerings to bring there, but they were bringing what they wanted to. They were bringing the scraps. They were bringing the leftovers. They were bringing what was already sick, what was going to die, what was lame and had broken legs and this thing. They were bringing the scraps of their life and offering them to God. And what did he say there in the last part of that verse number 13? He said, should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? And he asked this question. So I'm asking the question tonight, why do we try to give the Lord the scraps of our life, when He requires the best that we have. We are just deceiving ourselves when we try to give God less than the best that we have. And we're going to talk about it here in a few moments, that everybody's best is not the same. God just requires you to give of what He has blessed you with. But we see something here in this verse number 11. It says, From the rising of the sun even until the going down of the same, My name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering, for My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. We see here that God requires the best of our worship. That's what this entailed. That's what these sacrifices here, that's what these offerings here was all about. It was all about worshiping the Lord God Almighty. And they were coming to Him and they were giving less of their best in worship. And I just wonder about our lives and in our church today, if we do not try to offer God the not the best that we have in worship. He wants us to worship Him. But when we come, do we offer God the best worship that we have? There's many folks who won't even come to the house of God. You know, that's why we come here. We come here to praise Him, to worship Him. We go out there to serve, but we gather together here to worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that privilege. We have this freedom to gather together here in this sacred place to worship His name. There's many people that don't have that privilege around the world today, but you and I have that privilege. But are we offering the best of our worship? It said here that all the Gentiles, His name shall be great among the Gentiles, in every place incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering, for My name shall be great among the heathen. Your neighbors and the folks that you work with, if they know that you're a member of this church, and on Sunday when they see you, and if you're not in the house of God, is that making God's name great? Or when they look at you, do they? What do they think about your worship? What do they think about your God that you try to witness to them about, that you try to tell them about when it's time to worship and you're not in the house of God to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He said that His name should be great among the Gentiles. Israel was God's chosen people there. Israel was the ones that God had chosen out to be a witness for Him. They were God's chosen people. They were the one that God chose that salvation may be a spread throughout all the nations. And He said there, His name shall be great among the Gentiles. And because of this worship here, wherever they went, they were to offer up incense, and we are to be praying. That's a picture of prayer there in the Bible. It said, and a pure offering, for My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. How great is God's name in your life? I'm talking about when people see you, when people look at you, and people look at you, and people know your life, and when they look at you, and when they look at your worship, how great is your God? Are you offering the best worship? Are you worshiping Him? Are you making great His name amongst a lost and a dying world out there? Are you trying to give God the scraps of your life, the scraps of your worship? I think we've forgotten how to worship the Lord. I think we've forgotten who He is. I made mention here just about a week ago. I think we've gotten over being saved, amen. The excitement and the joy when we first accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and we wanted to tell everybody about that. We wanted to be in the house of God every time that the doors would open. It didn't make any difference if we were just going to gather there to pick up trash. You wanted to be there, amen. But somewhere down the road, you've lost that worship and that joy. He said that His name should be great among the heathen. Let's go on. He expects the best of our worship. But look in verse number 13 there. As we look at these priests here, they were bringing these offerings to God that these people were bringing. And in verse 13 it said, "Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it." We see here that this worship had no longer become heartfelt for these priests. They wasn't doing it from the heart. They wasn't doing it because of the love of God. They were doing it. It became a duty to them. It became a job to them. And that's what Covenant Church has become to many a folk. It has become a job. It's become a weariness. They have snuffed at it. Amen. Just like these priests had done here. What about your life? What about your work? As we see there in that verse number 13, it said these priests, it became a weariness to them, and they had snuffed at it, the duty, the responsibility that they had to offer these sacrifices. What about your opportunities, or what about your responsibilities to the Lord and your service to the Lord? Are you offering the best that you have? Are you offering your best to God in your service, in your work? Or are you offering the scraps or the junk or the trash in your life? Look back over in verse number 8 there in Malachi chapter 1. "And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts." The Lord was saying to these folks, now you take these offerings and you take it down there and offer it to these governors or these leaders there in your country and around there, and see if they will accept this that is less than the best. Well, what about you in your work? If you work for God, or if you work in your secular job, or the place that you work, if your work there equaled the work that you do for God, how long would you be employed? How long would you keep your job? Are you giving God equal to what you give your employer? Well, if you're not, then it is a sin. God is not accepting what you're trying to give to Him because He wants your best. And don't get me wrong, you are to give your employer the best. You are to do the best that you can in anything and everything that you do. The Bible says that everything we to do it heartily as to the Lord. But when we work harder for our secular jobs and our secular bosses than we do for the Lord, then we're out of the will of God. God is not accepting our offering or our sacrifice. Amen. It hits home, doesn't it? It hit home with me. Amen. Again, I've been studying on this for a couple weeks and still hadn't got everything that I believe the Lord would want to bring out. But what about your work for the Lord? Your service for God? Are you giving Him your best? If you're a Sunday school teacher, are you giving God your best for yours? Are you giving your Sunday school class the best? Are you doing all that God would have you to do? Or do you put more effort into your secular job? Are you fulfilling your responsibility? If you're a deacon or if you hold any office in the church, or maybe you don't even hold an office, still you are called to do something for the Lord. Are you doing your best for God? Are you serving Him to the best of your ability? You know, as we were down in Louisiana, we were doing some wiring, and Dennis and myself, we went down to the hardware store. We had to pick up a few items. And we're going to have to strip some wires, the end of the wires there. He had some of them fancy strippers. Boy, he put them on there, and he was just pulling the ends of those water off. All I had was an old belt knife, what we call it. Some of you call them carpenter's knife or whatever, but I'm a coal miner. I call it a belt knife, amen? But you know what I'm talking about, a utility knife. Well, that's all I had to skin these wires with. Well, we went down to the hardware store, and boy, there in the bargain bin, in the basket there, $4. Boy, these are strippers, wire strippers. I told Dennis, I said, hey, I need a pair of them. I could strip those wires real easy. I could put that on there and save a whole lot of time and work and effort into that. So we got a pair of them. We took them back down there, and boy, I sat down there on my little bucket there that I had as we were doing the receptacles, and I stuck those wire strippers on the end of that wire, squeezed the handle, and guess what? Nothing. It wouldn't even strip the wire. You know what it was? They were junk. And that's what we do to God oftentimes. Good tools produce are more productive than cheap, no count, counterfeit trash. You know what you and I are? We're God's instruments. We are God's tools. What kind of tool are you for God? Did you come out of the bargain bin? Are you some of them down here that cost a little more, that are more productive, that when you use them, they get the job done? What kind of tool? You know, the Bible said there in Ephesians, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. We are his instruments. We're nothing of ourselves. The Bible said we can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. What kind of tool are you? What kind of job? What kind of service are you offering to the Lord? Or are you coming out of the bargain bin? Are you trying to offer the scrap or the junk of your life? Or are you offering God the best that you have for His kingdom work, for His glory? Turn over to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. Now, we're going to look at an account of David. We're going to go back and forth here for a little bit out of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, and out of Malachi. But we're thinking about the work of the Lord here, and are we giving God the best? 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. This is an account as David is preparing for the temple of the Lord there. God wouldn't allow him to build the temple, but God told him that he would allow his son Solomon to build this temple. But David, he was preparing to build this temple, doing all that he could. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 1, it says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great." Folks, the work is great. Amen. I think we forget oftentimes about the work and who it is that we are working for. It is a great work. It is a great opportunity that you and I have to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we talked about this morning, he tells us to lay up those treasures in heaven. How do we lay those treasures up in heaven? It's by working for the Lord. And what a great work that it is. But oftentimes I believe that we do forget about how great the work is. And the last part of that verse says, "For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." I believe oftentimes we forget that who it is that we are working for, that we are working for the Lord God Almighty. Too often we think we are working for ourselves. We put more time and effort into our lives, into our jobs, into ourselves, and into our families. And don't get me wrong, family holds a high priority in God. It is God first, family second, and then the church. Amen. But we're to put God first above all other. He wants the preeminence in our life. But too often what we do, we put ourselves first, and we put other things. Again, we talk about prioritizing this morning. Sometimes where our heart is, we'll prioritize things, and sometimes God will be third, fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere else down the line there. But He wants to be number one. It's all about His work. It's all about His service. We are working for Him. Amen. Look there in verse number 2. He said, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God." David said that he prepared with all of his might for the house of God. We quote oftentimes, the Bible tells us that we're to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all of our strength. Are you serving Him? Are you working for Him? Can you say, as David said there, that I prepared with all of my might for the house of my God? Or would you have to say, well, I've prepared a little bit, but I haven't prepared with all my might. I haven't worked with all that I am for the kingdom work, for the work of the church, for the spread of the gospel. I haven't done everything that I could have done. I've done more for myself than I have for God. And I just want you to be honest with yourself tonight and allow the Lord to speak to you. Because we see what God requires of us. God requires our best in His work. You know, God required His best from Abraham, did He not? God told Abraham, said, "Abraham, I'm going to give you a son." As Sarah, his wife, was barren there and hadn't had any children, God promised him, said, "Abraham, I'm going to give you a son." And what did God do? God gave Abraham a son. When he was about 100 years old, and when Sarah was about 90 years old, God gave him a son. Then a little later on, down in life, what did God ask Abraham to do? God asked Abraham to give him, offer his son Isaac there for a sacrifice. What did he require? He required his most precious, valuable possession. His son, his promised son. We know that God didn't allow him to take Isaac's life, but Abraham was willing to give God his best. And he expects you to be willing to give him of your best, just as David did here. He prepared with all his might for the house of the Lord. Look on down. In verse number 5 here, it said, "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers." And listen to this. "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" He asked the question, who's willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? And that literally means to fill their hands there. He said, who is willing to fill your hands or fill your life with the service of the Lord? You know, we talked just a few moments ago about good tools, about good instruments, good hand tools and implements and how they are more productive. But even the best of tools is of no avail if they're not put to the work. You know, God may have given you many talents, but you may have not have taken what God has allowed you to have and put it to the work. to serve Him with the best that you have. God expects our best in the work for Himself. You know, He told us there in Romans chapter 12, He said, "I beseech ye therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and what? Acceptable, perfect will of God." Are you giving your best in the service for the Lord, for the house of God? Are you giving your best? Many folks not only do not give their best, they talk about, run down, lie on the house of God. You know what the church is? That's the body of Christ. What the Bible says. So oftentimes, instead of working for the Lord, oftentimes many people are working against the Lord. They're trying to do things to injure the church, the body of Christ. What are you giving to the Lord in your service? Are you giving the junk, the scraps of your life? Do you put forth as much effort in serving God as you do anything else in your life? What about your time? Do you spend as much time serving the Lord, working for the Lord, maybe talking to the Lord, reading the Word of God, than you do anything else? Well, if you're not, you know what you're doing? You're trying to offer God the scraps, the leftovers, the junk that's in your life. You know what we do? When we sit down in front of the television and turn that thing on, you know what that is doing? That's filling our minds and that's filling our heads with a bunch of the trash and the junk of the world. That's taken away from the service of the Lord. How much more productive would you be? How much better of an instrument? How much better of a tool? How much sharper of a tool would you be instead of sitting down in front of the television hours after hours, if you would be opening the Word of God and reading the Word of God and allow Him to speak to you? How much time do you give the Lord? Do you give the best of your time to God, or do you give the best of your time to yourself? Ephesians 5 and 16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, again, oftentimes we want to give the Lord whatever's left over of the day. Too often, and I myself am very guilty of this, get caught up in doing so many other things and running here and running there, and oftentimes forsaking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the time of the day. Get so busy doing things that you think you have to do and that need to be done and is expected of you, and yet you neglect the very one that you claim that you're serving. God expects the best of our time throughout the day, even our life. You know, many times we think, you know, we're going to work our lives and we're going to do good and we're going to do what we can. Then when we get a certain point in our life and we've done everything that we want to do and we've accomplished everything that we want to accomplish, and then we're going to turn our lives over to God. Then we're going to start working for the Lord. Then we're going to start serving Him. And oftentimes we think we're going to wait till we get a little later on in life. We get a little older in life. We're going to start serving God. Well, let me read what it says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Oftentimes we think we're going to wait to serve God when we get in those golden years. When we have so much aches and pains, and the older we get, the more aches and pains that we have, and the harder that it is to get out, and harder that it is to get up, and the harder that it is to do. And we say, well, that's when we're going to give God. We will go wait, and we're going to give God that time of our life. Don't get me wrong. God can use you any point and any time in your life if you'll just be that obedient, if you'll just be that willing vessel. God will use you. God can use you. But He expects our best that we have, the best of our time. Lamentations 3 and verse 27 said, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You know, I think oftentimes, as I've shared with you before, I wonder what God would have done if I would have surrendered my life to Him when He first began to deal with my heart. As a young man, as when He dealt with me, that I was lost and I needed to be saved, if I would have surrendered my life to God as a young man, what would He have done? I don't know what He would have done. The Bible tells us we not to dwell on the past. We can't change the past. We're just to go on and press toward the mark. Amen. But I wonder what God would have done if I would have given Him more of the so-called, what we call the prime of our life. I was 34 years old before I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. May the 2nd of 02, I surrender to the call to preach the Word of God. But what would He have done if I'd given Him all those years that I had wasted for myself and I'd used serving myself? What could have God done with that time? Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He tells us to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, then He would give us everything that we need according to His riches in glory. What are you giving God? Are you giving Him the junk? Are you giving Him the scraps of your life? Let's look back in Malachi and look in 14, and we're going to see one other thing that God requires of us. He requires the best in our wealth, the best that He gives us. And again, everyone doesn't have the same, but God requires the best that you have, the best that He has allowed you to have. Look in Malachi 1, verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth a sacrifice unto the Lord, a corrupt thing. Did you hear what that said? But cursed be the deceiver. And there's many folks out there today that are deceiving themselves. They're giving God a little portion of what they have. But there's many folks that are not giving God the best that they have. You know, as Sherry was preparing one of the boxes for the Samaritan purse out there, and the many items that are in that, I don't know how much one of those costs, probably $10 to $15, something like that, maybe. I'm just guesstimating how much is in one of those boxes. But about $10 maybe to $15 things placed in one of those shoe boxes, and they're going to be sent to some children overseas that doesn't have anything. And boy, they're going to be tickled to death. They're going to be tickled pink because they have received something as a gift. And as I thought about that and the items that were in that, are we going out and are we purchasing the best? We're representing Christ. This is a gift. We're supposed to be showing the gift of God. We're supposed to be sharing God's love. And what are we going and getting and placing in these boxes? And boy, we think we're really doing good. And we are. It is good. Because these children have nothing. But what if someone, what if your child, what if they were to receive one of those boxes? Our children, they will want, where's the rest of it? I dare say that one item that your children or grandchildren that will receive for Christmas will be worth probably 10 times more than one of those boxes that we're sending overseas to represent the love of Jesus Christ. Are we giving God the best of our wealth? Are we giving God the best that He has given us? You know, as we go with Mr. Ned many times to different places and pull those trailers to Oneida and Winchester and different places, we even took them down to Port Sulphur, Louisiana. And last year, as we took that trailer down there, we pulled it 670 something miles one way down there. We didn't know what was on that, and we opened up that trailer. And again, those folks down there, they were glad to receive those items because they had a need. But I want to tell you that there were some things on that trailer that should have been in the junkyard, that should have been burnt, amen. They wasn't worth hauling all the way down there. You and I, there was a bed mattresses in there that you and I would have not slept on, but somebody put them in that trailer to share the love of Christ. Something that should have been in the junkyard, in the trash. And again, oftentimes we want to do, and boy, we want to say we're serving the Lord. We're giving to the Lord. But are you giving your best? Or are you just trying to deceive yourself? That's what these folks were doing here, these that brought the sacrifices and these priests that was offering them up to God, knowing that they wasn't qualified, knowing they wasn't acceptable to God, and they were going ahead and offering these sacrifices. They were deceiving themselves. The Bible said, cursed is the deceiver. Cursed be the deceiver. God requires your best. God deserves, let me change this, God desires our best. God deserves our best of all that we have. Look what it said in the last part of that verse there. It said, and sacrifice unto the Lord a corruptible thing. It says, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. You see, He is a great king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. As we're going to be studying on Wednesday night out of the book of Revelation, we're going to see just how great that He truly is. We're going to see who He truly is. And oftentimes we have changed Him into, rather from a great king, we have just turned Him into yet another common person that we have deceived ourselves, that we are trying to serve. You know, back over in First Chronicles, I'm going to read a verse there. You can turn there if you want. Or out of 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 3, it says, "Moreover, because I have set my affections to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." And again, this is King David here, as he said, he prepared with all of his might for the house of God, for the house of his God that he called it here. He said, "I have set my affection on the house of my God. I have of my own proper good gave to the house of the Lord." You see, David gave of what he had, and you see, God expects you, as we made mention, to give of what you have. The Bible says that if it first be a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You see, God doesn't expect you to give something that you more or less do not have, but God does expect you, God does require you to give of the best that you have. These folks give willingly here to the house of God. There, as they were going to build the temple, these folks gave and said they rejoiced and gave to the Lord there, because they were able to give to God. They rejoiced. As we went through the study of the tabernacle, you know, where God received those materials to build that tabernacle, He received them from the Israelites there, from His chosen people. And it said that He told them to give of the gold and of the silver and of the blue and of the goat's hair and the ram's skin and all of these other items that God said that He required that was going to take to build this tabernacle. Said the people began to give, and they kept giving, and they kept giving, and they kept giving, and that's the way it is with you and I. The more we give, the more we'll want to give, the more we'll enjoy giving. And said these folks kept to give and giving and giving until they had to tell them, "Okay, that's enough. We have more than enough. Stop bringing these gifts." Oh, what a blessing that would be, wouldn't it? Oh, that we'd have way over the abundance. And whoa, too much. What are you giving to the Lord? All that we have is His. It all comes from Him. So you know, if we're not giving God the best that we have, you know what we're doing? We're just robbing God. We're keeping the best for ourselves, when God requires our best. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 12 says, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Listen to verse 14. "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." But oftentimes we get so puffed up, and boy, we think, well, we're really giving God something. We want to serve Him. We'll do something for Him. We think, well, we're really doing God a favor. Well, we're really giving Him something. When truly all we're doing is giving Him of His own. It's all His. Everything is His. And even the health that He allows us to have in His work and in His service, it's by His grace that we have that health and that strength. And we are to serve Him to the best of our ability. We are to give Him the best that we have. We are to give Him the best that we are. We are to work for Him. We are to serve Him. We are to worship Him and give of what He has allowed us to have. Too often, many folks come to the thinking that what they have is theirs. Too often people say, well, I've worked for it, I've earned it, I've gained it, it's mine, and I'll do what I want to with it. You might do what you want to with it, but it's not yours. God might allow you to do that. You may deceive yourself, just as these were here that day. But it's all God's. And I assure you, the more that you would do for Him, the more that you would give Him, the more blessings that you will receive. It's been said many times, you can't outgive God, and how true that is. I've heard my uncle make mention as he surrendered into the ministry, and he didn't have very much money, and there was a missionary that came one time to his church, and they were taking up an offering there, and the Lord laid on his heart to give $20, and $20 was all that he had to make it on the rest of the week, and the Lord impressed upon his heart to give that $20. And you know, he was reluctant to do that, but he did. He gave that $20. And this is his testimony. Before he left church that day, somebody gave him, guess what? $20. We can't outgive God. He'll give us blessings. But He requires our best. Not our junk. Not our scraps. As we'll go out and work many times all week. And how many times have you heard it? Oh, I'm so tired. I've worked all week. I'm so tired. I can't come to church. I got a sniffle nose. I got a headache. I can't come to church. But we worked all week. What are we giving God? The scraps, the junk of our life. Stand with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You right now. Lord, we thank You for all that You give us. Lord, You tell us. Lord, that through Your grace, all the riches that we have, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we thank You for that. And Lord, as You desire our best, Lord, that we would be faithful and obedient. Lord, that we would offer You our best, just as the children of Israel did when they gave for the temple or the tabernacle, and just as they gave for the temple there, how they gave of the best that they had, of the gold and the silver and of the iron and of the brass and all, Lord. Lord, that they gave. And they gave of their best. And they gave joyfully and willingly. They gave, Lord, to You. And Lord, that's all You desire for us, is to willingly give You the best, Lord, that we have, and Lord, the best that we are. And Lord, how often we try to offer You the scraps or the junk or the leftovers in our life. Lord, I just pray tonight that You take Your word, that You use it. Lord, You know the heart of each and every one that's here. Lord, we know we preach to the church tonight, Lord, but there may be someone here tonight, Lord, they've never been saved. Lord, they've never accepted You as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray tonight that they would come. Lord, that they would accept You. They would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray for Thy will to be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 280.